bam, 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 bam,
bam. 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi, I'm Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over 2 decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood.
Hey, greetings, everybody. We're coming to you today
not from
our normal recording spot, which is in Bella Vista, Arkansas, but we are coming to you from Annapolis, Maryland.
We're actually in our Airbnb.
We are in an Airbnb right now, and
we've never. This is a first for us. We've never recorded a podcast without our producer Abby.
This is true. She's not here with us today,
and so, in an Airbnb. We've never done. Well, I guess we did our Israel podcast,
but Abby was
in a
with
hotel.
Us.
Yeah, but Abby was with us to get that figured out. So, bear with us as we record ourselves.
Yeah, the audio,
for the first time.
We have a little portable podcasting unit with us, and it's not our typical podcasting microphones, so it may sound a little bit different than normal. But hey, we're in Annapolis right now, visiting our son Neil. But that's not the reason for why we are out here. That was just getting to see Neil was just a little bit of a bonus. We were actually invited a few months back by our friends at Pioneer Bible Translators to come with them and do a Museum of the Bible tour, and we got to do that with the curator of the museum, which was extra special. And one of the things he said is, "I'm going to make sure you guys get to see all the cool stuff." And so it was great.
The whole thing is cool stuff, but yeah.
And we were with I think the number was 32 lead pastors, and their wives were with us. And it was just a wonderful time. We got to meet a whole bunch of new people and reconnect with some old friends, and spent a lot of time just learning about Bible translation throughout the world and what the latest innovations. And I'll tell you, I had no idea how much effort is being put into a sign language translation.
Oh man, it was so cool to hear about it. And the guy who shared about translating, guess what? It's the story Bible. It's the action Bible.
It's the action Bible.
The one we talk about all the time that our boys absolutely loved. They're translating the action Bible into sign language, and there's actually even a really good reason, because that way the person who's deaf can see it, and they're also putting the captions in, like, caption bubble in the language that it's needed. And I'm like, that way if someone who's like the adult is hesitant about the message, they can read it along with the sign language.
Right.
It's really cool.
And I had mentioned American Sign Language. It's not exactly what's true. What I did not know is that there's, you know, ASL, American Sign Language, but just like any other language, they've got their own version of sign language.
So many.
And so I just assumed sign language was universal all around the world. It is not. There's all these different languages in the world that the Bible needs to be translated into. It's sign language is the same way. And just, you know, the work that they're doing and the resources they're pulling into it. And like Kirsten was saying, they're using the action Bible visuals, the drawings to go right alongside of this. And we'd have to show you an example for us to really make it make sense. Because I didn't
really cool.
I didn't understand it until they actually showed us what they were doing. But we learned about that. We learned about all the different.
Well, the guy who's even in charge of that project on staff with PBT. I thought it was really fascinating, his story, that he was born to two deaf parents. And so he grew up in sign language and knew sign language, he said, was his first language. I was like, that's really neat.
Yeah, I never really thought about it until he talked. It's just things that he made me think about that I'd never really thought about. And so it was awesome. And you know, just to learn how many languages there are still in the world that have no scripture. And Kirsten, tell them about the Illuminations room at the Museum of the Bible.
Oh, man. It was really cool to go into this room and to see off to the right all the Bibles that are complete. We have a complete Bible in our language. And then they have a whole section of Bibles that they just have in the New Testament. They haven't been able to get it into the Old Testament yet, or they have part of it in Old Testament.
Or it's in progress.
Yeah. It's in progress. Then to the other side of the room, they have this entire section where they only have bits and pieces of the Bible translated in different languages. And then there's an entire section from top to bottom, from the ceiling to the floor, this entire section where they do not have any scripture in these people's language yet. And so they have these projects that they, you know, Pioneer Bible Translators is just one of many that are working on these different projects to get that translated.
What I was really encouraged by was they said that all of these translation ministries that are around, they have all locked arms. I think he said there's 11 major ones, and they have all locked arms together, and they are sharing resources. And this is something that has not been done in the past. This is more of a recent development. And now they are all sharing resources, sharing knowledge, sharing finances, sharing everything, and they have divided up, and they've got this goal, if I understood it correctly, to have all of these known languages that don't have scripture to have at least some of the Bible translated in every one of those languages by 2050. I think that was the
2050 or 2058.
I think it was 2050. And they believe that it can be done because they're now working together. And can you imagine, Kirsten, the day when there's not a language spoken in this world that won't at least have some scripture translated? And one of the things that really hit me is when Pioneer Bible Translator was giving their presentations, is they said, try being a pastor, try preaching sermons, try teaching your church, but not have the Bible.
Yeah.
And how difficult would that be? And I got to thinking just how important the scripture is to us, and
how much you lean on the Bible, obviously.
Well,
and write your messages.
Well, yeah, and how we elevate the scriptures and encourage people to read. And, you know, I got to thinking,
we just have access and we just take it for granted here and just open our Bible app on our phone and have the Bible app at, you know, in our hands all the time in multiple different versions and, you know, of the Bible. So we can look at the New International Version, the King James Version, the, you know, all kinds of different.
Yeah.
And some places don't have the Bible at all in their language.
Well, it's just been weighing on my spirit these last couple of days, thinking, how would I do my job if I didn't have the Bible?
Right.
Well, and that's what, you know, some of these Christians in these countries, these pastors that have stepped up and said, you know, that we believe and we will try to evangelize and teach and share the good news when they don't have good news to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you just the stories of how these nations, these people groups that finally get the word and how they've distributed those and how people can't get enough of it. It reminded me of when we started the Courageous series and we gave away the story Bibles. And how we ended up giving, I think now, about 1,000 of those.
Wow.
And how easy that was to get our hands on them, distribute them, give it away, fairly low cost to us. You don't think about the painstaking effort that's going into getting the word translated, even just portions of it, into other languages. I left there with such a deeper appreciation for the work that they do and desiring, you know, to do everything I can to help. So, but anyway, that's how the first couple of days started. And that was just amazing. This morning I was actually on a Zoom call with a whole bunch of pastors in India.
That was so fun.
Yeah.
Not only were you on a Zoom call with a whole bunch of pastors from India, you were on a Zoom call with a whole bunch of pastors from India at Enterprise.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Pastor Samuel. Well, you guys remember a few weeks ago, we had our friend Samuel from India who was visiting, and he told me all about these pastors that benefit from the sermons that I send that they can translate. And so he had messaged me about 1 o'clock this morning. I didn't get it until I woke up. I was sound asleep, but wanted to know if I could join them for this pastor's gathering. And so we are sitting in the lobby of Enterprise, and it was time. And so I got on the Zoom call, and I was sitting there in the lobby, and here I am. I'm talking through my cell phone on this Zoom call to I don't know how many guys were in the room, and there's a translator, of course. And I just kept thinking about that guy behind the desk,
Enterprise,
and just what he had to be thinking. You know, here we are on this Zoom call. You know,
all he heard was, "Well, I'm so blessed to be able to partner with you." It's like their language, I can't speak it, but it was just funny.
Is that how you think?
Well, that language, it was in Telugu.
I can't
speak Telugu, so it's that's my best Telugu.
All right, anyway,
I apologize to anyone out there who speaks Telugu.
So I was probably on this Zoom meeting for, you know, 5 minutes,
five or 10 minutes.
It was just more of a check-in. Samuel had asked me to, if I could Zoom in. They had me on a big screen TV in there in the room so they could see, and he just said it'd be really good if these guys could meet you and see you of who's actually providing these sermons. And
they cheered and clapped and hoop and hollered. It was a lot of fun. They waved. It was just really cool. They had a TV screen on the front of the stage so they could see us, and then there was a camera facing them so we could see them.
Right.
And then someone picked up the camera and panned it around so that we could see the TV screen with us on it of what they were seeing. So it was really fun. It was, I think I took some pictures or video of you talking to them and waving, and it was just a neat experience to get to connect with all those pastors for sure.
I'm just glad the technology exists to make that even with everything, like with Bible translation and the things that are the work going on, and things like this, me being able to talk in real time to a group of pastors in India, you know, just a few years ago would never have happened.
Right.
So, or it could not have happened as cheaply as we do it now, just with our iPhones and stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't even cost anything to do something. But it wasn't all that long ago that several of us remember long distance phone calls, and back in my college days, calling cards.
Oh, man.
Do you remember having to put in that 400 digit number just to connect to call your parents from college?
And how exciting it was to get a calling card for 9 cents a minute, not the 10 cents a minute. But after that call was over.
Calling card days. And then, of course, I know some of you are like, oh, well, I remember when we couldn't even call long distance because it just cost too much, period. Yeah. So.
Well, and then when I got off that Zoom meeting, I went up to the guy that had just rented us our car, and I said, yeah, let me just explain. I'm a pastor, and these guys, and he's like, I've seen it all. Unfazed.
He's like, you don't need to explain nothing to me.
Unfazed by it, but.
That's funny.
Anyway, then we came over to Annapolis today and got to hang out with Neil. We bought 9 16-inch pizzas from a local pizza place. We took them over to the Naval Academy, and Neil had invited a bunch of his fourth company to come. So what was it, about 20 of them?
Yeah.
So we were in Dahlgren Hall, which is just a big, big hall there.
Which, and 20 is really only about half of them. But
and those kids devoured the pizza. And,
it was all gone. I made some indoor s'mores. One of our favorite little treats. It's a little fancier than Rice Krispie treats, but it's made with Golden Grahams. I can put the recipe on our show notes, but it's just a little fun. Indoor s'mores is made with Golden Grahams, and so I made 2 pans of those, and the kids were so appreciative and so kind, and I got to give them all a hug because they don't get hugs. Their mamas aren't around.
Yes,
so.
Kirsten took it upon herself. She said, I got to hug all these kids because their moms aren't here, and I got to be their stand-in mom. So I shook all their hands.
I hugged them all.
Kirsten grabbed them all by the neck and hugged them like they were her own.
Gave them all hugs. And then while we sat and ate pizza and connected with them and One of the kids said, I thought Neil would be on his best behavior with his parents here, but nope, he's the same. I'm like, yeah, Neil's the same. Well, you guys all have experienced him before on the podcast. He is the same all the time. So I'm like, no, there's no change in Neil. He is always the same. But right next to everything going on, we were sitting in this little cafe in a hall called Dahlgren Hall. And they had like a little line dancing class thing going. And
it's a club. It's a line dancing club that they're part of. And
Neil apparently is part of this club. So
he has been. I don't know if he's still
eventually went out there and they all started dancing. And it was fun just to kind of watch them all goofing off and having fun. And it's structured dancing, so it was fun to watch them all and just interact and see them all.
So we're going to have a few days here and mixing a little bit of business and pleasure with this trip, with our meetings with Pioneer Bible Translators, and then in a few days we'll be visiting some multi-site churches and learning from them. We're going to visit one, what I would call a premier multi-site church. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be attending the Renew Gathering, which is just an organ. It's just a ministry that I just feel as connected to it as anything. I just believe in what they're doing, but they're having, it's called a Renew Gathering. So we'll be spending time there with hundreds and hundreds of pastors. And they're all about the purity of God's word and discipleship and evangelism. So I'm excited about that. So it's going to be a very full week. Like I said, a little business, a little pleasure. But hey, we'll tell you all about it when it's all over. Well, this past weekend, we started to unpack the story of who I believe is the most famous of all the judges, which would be Kirsten.
Samson,
that's right. Kirsten, let me ask you, I said in church this weekend, I said that Samson I learned as a kid, either through Sunday school, children's church, VBS, my children's books that we had at our house I used to read, or maybe a combination of all of them. But I learned about Samson very, very young. I think it's one of the, but as I told the church, is that when I was a kid, they only told me half the story.
I don't even think they told us half of it. They told us a section of the Samson story, and that was about it. The cutting the hair part and the pillar part.
Yeah, that he was a deliverer, and that he was God's man.
They did not go into all the details of Samson.
He had a lot of strength because of his hair.
Yeah.
And then he told his secret and got his hair cut off, and then at the very end of his life, he pushed the pillars down, and that was pretty much it. And he was one of God's deliverers, but what they didn't tell us is that he was arrogant and prideful and mean to, disrespectful to his parents. He was a womanizer who visited prostitutes and hung out with the enemy and basically did all the things that God told the Israelites not to do.
How would that go over if we came out of Sunday school and said, Mom, today we learned in Sunday school that Samson visited the prostitutes?
What's a prostitute?
First of all, I think they were like, well, let's skip over some of these parts.
Well, I understand, you know, a lot of that story is a little bit R-rated, but I understand why they kind of gave us it was all true, but
it's not even the G version.
It was like the good parts of Samson. But in this series, we're going
to get the full picture.
We're going to unpack every chapter. And I think our church is in for, as they begin to really read this and study it, is holy cow. There are four chapters devoted to this guy's life, and there are a lot of details. And I think it's going to, I think a lot of people are going to have their eyes open as they go through this.
If you haven't already read it, read it. And I feel like even though you read it and then you'll hear a sermon about it, you still learn more about it. But yeah, read that part in Judges. It's all the details, and then it's a good refresher then to hear it again.
Well, I mean, from the very beginning of his miraculous birth, you would think, like if you were reading this fresh, you didn't know anything about it, his birth was so miraculous, announced by the angel, and his parents who couldn't have kids, they're going to have kids. And I told the church this weekend, I said, you know, it kind of parallels the birth of Jesus. A lot of the details are the same. You had an angelic announcement, first to the mother, then to the father, and that this boy was going to be a deliverer. I mean, it's very, I mean, actually, what the birth of Samson should do is that it should actually point us forward to the birth of Jesus. It's giving us hints of Jesus. It should make us think about Jesus, and all of those things are great to do. If it points us towards the greatest birth, you know, then it should. Mm-hmm. We should allow it to do that. But you know, we don't know much about Samson's childhood, but when chapter 14 begins, he's basically saying to his parents, "I want you to get me a wife that God told us not to have those kind of wives." And so we don't. How old
do you think he was then?
I don't know.
I haven't really thought about it.
You know, at what age he would be looking for a wife.
Well, because in this day and age, we don't usually tell our parents, "Hey, parents, go get me a wife over there."
Well, the parents were very involved.
But, yeah, culture's different.
Yeah, and they were reluctant, of course, just like why there, you know? But anyway, Samson's a remarkable story, and I can't wait to unpack it. Now, this weekend, our youth pastor, Pastor Zach, is going to be unpacking. Zach's going to get his first shot at preaching, and so we're praying for him, and I know he's going to do a great job with the 14th chapter of the book of Judges, so you guys make sure you come and support him and encourage him, but I'm excited to hear what he's got to bring,
This will be his first time to preach here at New Life, right?
Very first time.
I guess he's probably preached every week to the students on Wednesday nights, but to the entire church body, and that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to
go, Zach.
See what he's got to bring. But good, so you guys, let me just encourage you: keep reading, keep praying, and definitely lift up prayer. In fact, Kirsten and I were greatly encouraged with Pioneer Bible Translators, kind of come back to them, listening to the president of PBT speak. I was so encouraged by that. He's actually written a book on prayer.
He's written two books on prayer.
But the way that he challenged us to pray specifically, Kirsten, kind of walk him through some of the prayer points that he gave. It's a challenge to us to pray. So when I say, hey, you know, pray for Zach, pray that he does a good job, keep praying for the church, you know, those are all great things to pray for, but he challenged us to pray very specifically.
Yeah, he challenged us because they kind of joked a little bit about, you know, hey, what's your strategy with Pioneer Bible Translators? And he said, prayer. You know, it was really just basic. It was,
how are you going to increase the ministry? Prayer. How are you going to accomplish all these big goals? Prayer. You know, how are you going to raise all the funds that you need to supply this ministry? Prayer. And
so he just lined that out, and it really challenged all of us. And so I wrote these just four simple points down, and I hope that you guys, this will encourage you guys too, because it really encouraged us. But God answers prayer in Jesus's name. And I know that some of us already know this, but when we pray, and a lot of times we'll pray, and at the end we'll say, and we pray this in Jesus's name, because he is the person that we're praying to, and we know that it's in his name that he's going to answer these prayers. And so pray in Jesus's name. And then the second one is that God answers persistent prayers. Mm-hmm. He told story after story about sometimes they pray for a couple months, and sometimes they pray for 8 years, but they pray persistently for the same request, and they log it. They want to track it. So write those prayer requests down and stay persistent with it, and asking God in Jesus's name, persistently praying those prayers. And that was a great challenge to us. And then the third one, God answers unified group prayer. So get together with your life group, get together with your friends, with your family, unified, and pray for those things, whatever it might be. And like Job mentioned, that we're, as a group, we're unified and praying for Zach this weekend as he brings the message on Samson. So unified group prayer, and specifically they were talking about numbers, financial numbers, and then also getting translations of the Bible, lots of unified group prayer, and they've been seeing those prayers be answered. And then the last one is God answers specific prayers. And he said, and this was really, really a great challenge, to not be vague, to be really specific. And the reason was because when you're specific with God, then you can track that and log it and be persistent with it. And then you can see how God answered. And I was like, wow, that's so true. Yeah,
it was a great, great challenge. And he really elaborates on all of these in his book. We'll tag his book in the show notes. And so you guys, and I have not read the book yet, but just based on how he challenged us, I'm like, I'm going to go read that book. In fact, he said, he goes, as he was talking about all of these things, he goes, just read the book. You know, and he said, he goes, don't take notes. Don't try to write all this up. Just go read the book. And anyway, I'm definitely going to go do that.
But it was a great encouragement to us. And then we spent some time with some of the people at our table and we prayed, and it was great. So God answers prayer in Jesus' name. God answers persistent prayers. God answers unified group prayer, and God answers specific prayers. So that's that. Thank you, guys.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, Not a Car Show.